You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
2 years ago, in September of 2016, a relatively unknown Urjit Patel took over as the governor of the Reserve Bank of India. As the 24th governor of the RBI, some thought he would struggle to fill a pair of supposedly rather big shoes, those of Raghuram Rajan. Patel, even today, tends to be overshadowed by the celebrity that surrounds Rajan in the inevitable comparisons. Now, while Rajan was perceived as a prodigy possessed of a prescience that saw the 2008 crash coming a mile away, Patel is seen as a more bien pensant by the book and measured, but not obsequious in any way. Urjit Patel will go down in history as the RBI governor at the time of demonetization.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
2 years of Urjit Patel.
2 months after he took office, Prime Minister Narendra Modi went live on national television on the evening of the 8th of November 2016 and announced that old currency notes of high denomination, meaning 500 rupee and 1000 rupee notes, would not be valid anymore. Gutsy but suicidal, said the initial reviews. 2 years later, demonetization is viewed in very different ways. One camp views it as a disastrous failure, while the other says things have improved for the better permanently. It has curbed black money, fake currencies, and terrorism funding, we are told. None of that political discourse does anything to reduce the annoyance that we feel when we go to an ATM and receive 2,000 rupee notes? Admit it, you wish for more 100 rupee notes and genuinely feel better for a whole minute or two on the day that you draw a stack of hundreds from the ATM. Baptism by fire, that's what Mint called it. After the note ban was announced, the Reserve Bank found itself dealing with an enormous cash shortage in the system. It was blamed for a lack of transparency and frequent flip-flops in rules during the implementation of demonetization. Patel received a lot of flak for this implementation, but as Mint noted on two previous occasions when demonetization was implemented in 1946 and 78, the then RBI governors C.D. Deshmukh and I.G. Patel could not prevent it because it was a government decision. Some analyses say that it was a bit like the 1969 bank nationalization. The RBI governor L.K. Jha was kept in the dark till the last moment. Thomas Franco, senior vice president of the All India Bank Officers Confederation, had said, and we quote, either Prime Minister Narendra Modi or Finance Minister Arun Jaitley would be knowing the minute aspects of demonetization. The RBI governor should have advised the government properly as to issues involved and the time needed for the banking sector to be ready for the same, unquote. Patel maintained a stoic silence, only telling the media that the RBI was taking necessary actions to, and we quote, ease the genuine pain of citizens, unquote, with the clear intent of normalizing things as soon as possible. The bank put in place an elaborate exercise for withdrawing junked notes and introducing new ones. Deccan Herald reported that this process had people, quote, working two shifts under strenuous conditions, maintaining detailed records and planning effectively without compromising on other functions of currency management, unquote. Dr. Patel had likened running the RBI to being wise like an owl. He said, and we quote, an owl is traditionally a symbol of wisdom. So we are neither doves nor hawks, but owls. And we are vigilant when others are resting, unquote. Quite an analogy that. But yes, Deccan Herald reported an interesting anecdote about RBI governors and governments. A senior banker said this relation has always been difficult and was summed up perfectly by former RBI governor D. Subbarao, who recalled an incident. His predecessor, Y.V. Reddy, kept saying no, 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 yes, no, 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 while talking to someone over the phone. Later, Reddy revealed that he was talking to the then finance minister and his only yes was in reply to a question on whether he was able to hear him. Mint notes that Dr. Patel has not wavered from his mission of inflation fighting and cleaning up the NPA mess. He calls it blunt when required, even if it grates on the government's ear. He's not given to showboating like his predecessor, but is not averse to speaking his mind. For instance, in the first year of his tenure, He turned down a finance ministry invitation for a meeting with the Monetary Policy Committee members and made public his displeasure with farm loan waivers announced by states. In his second year, Patel said that regulatory power should be ownership neutral. His argument was that all commercial banks are regulated by the RBI under the Banking Regulation Act, but public sector banks are regulated by the government too, their majority owner. This, he said, restrained the central bank from exercising certain powers which it has over the private banks. We must note here that in a break from the past, the Reserve Bank's monetary policy is no longer a governor's policy. A six-member Monetary Policy Committee, or MPC, makes the decisions. The framework was put in place following the suggestions of an expert panel headed by Dr. Patel himself. Since June this year, the policy rate has been hiked twice. And at every policy statement, Patel has stated clearly his intolerance for inflation crossing the medium-term target of 4% within a band of plus or minus 2%. There was some criticism of Patel's statement regarding banking. It was seen as an attempt to cover for perceived failures of the regulator to prevent frauds, a reiteration of what another panel headed by former RBI Governor M. Narasimhan had recommended 27 years back, that the dual control over the banking system of the Finance Ministry and the Reserve Bank needed to come to an end. Now, most of the recommendations by the Narasimhan panel were implemented, but successive governments have ignored this particular point. The RBI governor then briefed a parliamentary panel that included former Prime Minister Manmohan Singh. He asked for more powers to oversee public sector banks, adding that no central bank nominee should be on the boards of PSBs so as to avoid conflict of interest. All things considered, the issue of NPAs and cleaning up the banking sector remain Urjit Patel's biggest challenges. When he took over as governor, the banking industry was already neck deep in an NPA crisis. In 2 years, the total gross non-performing assets of the banking industry surged from 7.06 lakh crore rupees in September 2016 to 10.03 lakh crores in June 2018. Now that's a rise of by about 2.98 lakh crores. Close to 90% of those bad loans was contributed by public sector banks. After the bankruptcy code came into existence, the RBI began pushing banks to initiate recovery procedures against a bunch of large corporate loan defaulters. Earlier this year, the central bank released a new stressed asset framework. While media reports have tended to focus on the immediate fallouts of the circular, its real impact lies in its potential to change unhealthy credit habits that have become endemic in recent times. A one-day default was not actually considered a default, and it was okay for a borrower to delay payments as long as it came in before the 90-day overdue point. That, by the way, is the cutoff which leads to an account being classified as non-performing. So the RBI cracked the whip on this issue. A default is a default, said the central bank, and insisted that banks and borrowers treat them that way. The RBI used a similarly strict approach to other aspects of banking, like the corrective action framework. There are 11 government-owned banks under this framework, and two of these PSBs have been instructed to dial back on lending. The Reserve Bank, under Patel, wants to send a message that weak banks need to get their act together. The governor, in some speeches, has also made a case for greater powers of public sector banks to ensure the sector remains healthy. Now, in 2017, private banks too were instructed to disclose the differences between their own assessment of bad loans and those by the regulator. Pessimistic as it may sound, nearly all leading private lenders have had to figure out explanations. The RBI asked the board of Axis Bank to reconsider the appointment of Shikha Sharma for another term. Sharma chose to step down instead. Yes Bank conveyed to the stock exchanges that Rana Kapoor will continue to be the bank's CEO, indicating that the central bank is yet to decide on Kapoor's future at that private bank. The promoters of two other small finance banks have stepped down as CEOs as they couldn't conform to ownership norms. Kotak Mahindra Bank's plan to dilute the promoter's stake hasn't received the RBI's nod either. As Bloomberg Quint noted, the RBI under Urjit Patel is sending out a message that regulatory approval is no longer a rubber stamp. Despite the government's encouragement, the RBI has not backed down from its stand of taking power sector defaulters to the National Company Law Tribunal. While it appears that the government wants the Reserve Bank to take a second look at its prompt corrective action norms that do not allow weak banks to expand business, the bank cannot afford to dilute bad loan recognition and resolution norms for defaulters in the power sector. Such a backing down could compromise the sanctity of the Insolvency and Bankruptcy Code, a crucial key towards improving credit culture in India. Patel had told the media at one point, and we quote, "I have chosen to speak today to convey that we at the RBI also feel the anger, hurt and pain at the banking sector frauds and irregularities. In plain simple English, these practices amount to a looting of our country's future by some in the business community in cahoots with some lenders," unquote. Mint notes that while it can be argued that the new regime is a bit harsh on PSBs and that bad loans were created over a period and banks should be given more time to deal with them, that is the headache of the majority owner and not the banking regulator. It is for the government to decide whether to let them die or nurse them back to health. Another aspect of Patel's tenure is his insistence on keeping inflation low, as we'd mentioned earlier. Under his leadership, the RBI has worked to contain the consumer price index inflation. Inflation fell from 4.39% in September 2016 to 4.17% in July 2018. Now, in June 2017, retail inflation hit a historic low of 1.54% on a dip in prices of food items such as vegetables, pulses, and milk products. The highest CPI inflation of 5.21% was reported in December of 2017. Bank credit growth is another important parameter to gauge the health of the economy. When Patel took over in September 2016, the bank credit, that's non-food, growth stood at 10.8%. Demonetization saw it drop to 3.3% by Feb of 2017. It stayed between 4 and 7% for a while and improved November onwards. It touched 10% in December and now around 11%. What about the torrid time that the rupee has been having, you might ask? When Patel assumed office, the rupee was around the 67 mark against the greenback. After maintaining the range of 64 to 66 for a few months, the rupee began to strengthen and touched a high of 63 rupees 38 paise in Jan of this year. However, from March, the rupee began to fall thanks to a rise in crude prices. It breached the 71 mark on the 31st of August, and then on the 3rd of September, it nosedived further to a new lifetime low of 71 rupees 18 paise per US dollar. In year to date, the rupee has fallen 11%, making it the worst performing currency in Asia. On forex reserves, the Reserve Bank had $367.8 billion in reserve when Patel took over. By early January of 2017, that amount fell to $359.2 billion. However, it began to rise again and touched $400.7 billion in September of last year. Forex reserves then hit an all-time high of $426.1 billion US dollars in April this year, but fell back closer to the 4 billion mark in recent times. This number now is at $401.3 billion. That's enough to cover 10 months of imports. As Urjit Patel enters the final year of his three-year term, it remains to be seen how he handles his many challenges, including the deep, systemic ones. The one thing that we seem to gather from his first 2 years is that Patel will not surrender the Reserve Bank's independence. He had once said, and we quote, "The fundamental mission of economists is not to forecast crises, but to explain how the mankind behaves in the ordinary business of life. And in doing so, they do warn of crisis formations, suggest preemptive strategies, and formulate mitigating policies that address those crises that slip through the macroeconomic surveillance," unquote. At another time, he said, and we quote again, "If we need to face the brickbats and be the Nilkantha consuming this poison, we will do so as our duty. We will persist with our endeavors and get better with each trial and tribulation along the way," unquote.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.